All right, let's try a second time. Hope we get this right now. I see the comments section alive with all kinds of criticism for the team. So thank you for that, guys. I'm sorry to fuck you around this morning, but let's get going. Okay, we got CS Duplessis in the studio. The original Ginger was on our team at 5FM for years. We were just catching up when we started. Oh, they've moved you, have they? They've just put you on the. They've just put you with the green.
And yeah, even try. I'm much more comfortable.
You. I'm really, really happy you make it this morning. And you were busy updating us on your son. He's now 16.
Yeah.
Blake.
Oh, I mean, God. Gareth, we were on air and my wife messaged me and said, I think my water's just broke. And I think it was just after 8 in the morning. And yeah. I was like, I think we have to go. I'm about to become a father. It was like a bizarre moment that the whole country sort of shared with us. You know, it was truly special. And fast forward, a lot of attitude, a lot of teenage years and a few other hiccups along the way. But generally, it's been a good sort of time. And, you know, Blake incarcerated is now 16 and he's singing and he's coming to his own. His hair's long. He's taller than me. It's time flies.
Sounds like
when
you're having fun. Sounds like a hippie. I mean, I remember that day because you went, I think I have to go. We were all like, what are you talking about? Get in your car. Go to the hospital, you moron. You were like, oh, well, maybe I just have to do the sport. Like, get out.
I think I did do the sport, actually, and then left anyway. Committed to the craft, GC.
No, it's wild. Yeah. I think it probably – are you still living in the deep free state, or have you moved a little bit closer?
Hell no. 2018 – when the wheels looked like they were officially coming off in that municipality and we were running out of water and electricity and just basic services, we decided to move closer to civilization, to the metropolis near Alberton. So that's where we find ourselves at the moment.
Well, I mean, it's better than – I mean, it's more civilized than the places you live. You had a cow for milk so you could make coffee in the morning. You had a river that you would have to fish from and draw your water from. I mean, this is Alberton chickens. Is way more important, you know?
Yeah, no, look, I mean, the river's just closer now. And we figured out a way to get the water. But anyway, no, look, it's a lot more convenient. I was like, what the hell was I thinking driving like 120 Ks a day? It was mad, but it was mad.
120 Ks a day. I just remember, you know, I used to do what? 50 odd Ks a day. And I remember falling asleep, well, almost falling asleep behind the wheel a number of times. And I thought, what the hell are you doing to yourself? And I can only imagine how much worse it is when you add, you know, another 60 to 80 Ks to that, which is what you were doing. It's just, it's crazy. What the things that we used to do just to like, to make the show happen. But we're not going to turn this into an interview like I promised you earlier, because you're actually here to just hang out with us this morning, which is very, very cool. What a pleasure, dude. For those who've just joined us now and have just come into the conversation, you can drop us a comment in the comment section. I see here, Alberton, yo, baby, says JP, who's obviously a big fan. Yeah.
Morning,
this
JP.
Is the internet. I mean, I don't live in Alberton, he says. Even he's embarrassed and ashamed by it.
I said near Alberton.
So before we just swiftly move on, what are you actually up to at the moment? Because the last time I checked in with you, you were doing like stuff for the Chinese. Is that still part of the plan?
Yeah, I still freelance for the Chinese, yes, and do a little bit of work for them. I've done some consulting work. I've got my podcast that we're slowly growing, and you inspired me to get into, so thank you for that. And you've been a guest on that, so check that out if you get a chance. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think I've reached a stage in my life now where I'm incredibly selfish with my time. And it's something that you mentioned a little while ago, that you have to be selfish with your time, because at the end of the day, that's all you really have. And it is fleeting. So, you know, at this time, I'm trying to have fun. I'm trying to get stuck in and make a change where I can.
You know what? It's so weird that you brought up the time thing. I don't remember saying that to you. I mean, I don't remember anything I said. I can't tell you something I said on Monday on the show, right? And it was so much worse when we did 5 shows a week, because then I'd have to remember so much more. And people would walk up to me like, yeah, yesterday when you said this thing, and I'd say, don't remember. But this time issue is a big deal to me. I had this conversation with a friend of mine over the weekend, and we were talking about how, you know, this idea that being selfish is bad is like drummed into us from an early age. And of course, there are excesses of anything that are bad. I mean, you'll know this as well as I will. If someone is completely self-absorbed and they only think about themselves, and frankly, that's impossible for a parent, because you have to think about your kids. And if you're married, you have to think about your wife. And you know, you have all kinds of things that are the kind of stuff that's not negotiable. But the rest of your life, you kind of are responsible to yourself. You have to wake up in the morning and go to sleep at night knowing, like, this is this, whatever I do with this time in between where I'm conscious and awake, I can make it exciting and tremendous, and I can do 100 things, and I can meet these people, and I can go to these places, and I can make money, and I can hopefully make other people think or have good interactions with me or bad. And that time is all up to you. It's like they always say about that dash in between the date of birth and the date of death on someone's tombstone, right? That dash contains everything. And if you're one of those people who goes through your life just bemoaning the fact that you don't control your own time, i.e. that you don't have freedom, I think that's probably the worst way to live, because then you're not only unhappy because you don't have control of your time, but you're also like blaming everyone else. You're like, oh, it's because of my job, and oh, it's because of the government, and oh, it's because of my wife, and all that other nonsense. And actually, like, it's you, dude. Like, you take charge. And don't you also think it becomes easier as you get older to just say no to people?
It's been a revelation in my life, because I was always very much a yes man for many years, trying to be the nice guy all the time. And now I'm like, sorry, man, if it doesn't work for me, too bad. Move on.
Right. And you don't feel guilty?
No, not at all. At the moment, I'm at peace. I really am at peace, and I don't have to impress anyone. I don't have to prove anything to anyone. And yeah, I'm just comfortable in my own skin.
Yeah, I actually get like a kick out of saying no to people now. When I get invited to, no, seriously, it sounds terrible, but when I get invited to stuff I don't even go. No, I just said, I've got like a, listen, I taught producer James this the other day. We were sitting in a meeting, and I said to him, I have like a standard reply. If you know those keyboard shortcuts you get on your phone?
Yeah.
You know, where you can type in like TA and it comes up. And it auto completes, and it's like, thank you so much, I really appreciate the message, blah blah blah, and you can style it afterwards to the individual if you really want to take the trouble. But I've got one under RSVP. I just type in the letters RSVP, and this thing comes up. Let me read it to you. I'll show you right now.
I'm doing that now.
Watch this. So I type in RSVP. Okay, watch this. RSVP, and I'm going to send this now to James, and it comes up with, hi, and then I leave a space. Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm afraid I won't be able to come, but I wish you all the best with dot, dot, dot. Please pass on my regards to dot, 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 yours, Gareth. Okay, the whole paragraph. There it is, right? Look, the whole thing.
That is brilliant. That's brilliant.
And then all I have to type in is then the name of the person who sent it to me. And if there's someone else involved, that the please give my regards to or whatever. And it's just so easy. And it's like an automatic no to everything. So I only go to the things I honestly, truly want to be at. I only see the people I honestly, truly want to see. And it makes life so easy because, first of all, the people that you are spending time with, like this show, for example, which is, you know, it's a very important part of my day, 3 days a week. It's the kind of thing that when I'm there, you know, I want to be there. Otherwise, I'd just say no. You're not appearing all the time. You're not everywhere on everyone's radar 24/7. You don't have to feel guilty about anything because you haven't said yes and then not pitched. It just streamlines your whole fucking life. It feels so good. I love it.
I used to be the guy that would, so 24 hours before, if something else came up, I would be like, oh, get myself into this problem. But these days, like well in advance, I'm like, do I want to be there? Do I need to be there? I ask myself those questions. And if they don't tick any of those boxes, then I'm like, thanks so much for your invite. Unfortunately, I can't be there, but I'm going to be using the Gareth Cliff RSVP message, the standard template now.
Please. And anyone who's listening to us this morning, I see Raven and Sugar Shabalala and Bitcoin Butt and Sharon, and I see Almery and Migs and all the usual suspects. And by the way, if anyone in the comments section is looking for anyone to take charge there, we know that we've put Congo Chris in charge of the comments section. But we are going to...
Congo Chris? What's going on there?
Oh, no. Congo Chris is like a... He's a stalwart. A stalwart from the early days. And then there's Rebellious Ruth, who used to be the chairperson of the comment section, but she works on American time and can no longer join us every single day. But she still pops in from time to time. If you have problems in the comments section, take it up with those guys. I love passing on responsibility. I'm like, delegate. But please do this. Just create these shortcuts are the best thing ever. I've got a shortcut. I mean, I'm going to show you. I figured this out a long time ago, right? It's like AI. I'm now starting to get into this. I have got ChatGPT-4 on my phone. And this thing is like next level. You can do anything.
You pay the subscription, right? You've got the boss pack.
Oh no, I paid the full mega monster. It'll let you do anything. What's this image about? Write a love message to my girlfriend. What do you think cannot be replaced by AI? How to be rich and successful? Help me write an email. I mean, it's there's nothing it can't do, and you don't need. You don't need a human assistant.
I have a friend who lies awake at night and finds ways to try and trick AI. And often it's 2 in the morning and they send screen grabs of how they try to trick AI. And they've been very unsuccessful. It's phenomenal. It really has made my life easier.
All right. So if you've got an iPhone, what you need to do is you go to settings, then you go to general. And you go to keyboard, okay? And on keyboard, you'll find text replacement. This is the best. So I'll explain how this became a necessity for me. I'm telling you, I'm going to save you so many hours of this shit. So the first thing I did was because every time I type in rude words, it would autocorrect.
You use rude words? Gareth, really?
It would change fuck to duck. For example, because, you know, the dictionary is like sanitized. So, I mean, I swear in messages like I do in real life. So the first thing I did is I went in and I changed cocksucker, cunt, fuck, fucked, fucker, fuckery, fuckface, fuckhead, fucking, fucktard.
Oh, wow.
All of these.
I mean, priorities, look, right?
No, this is the shit that matters, my friend. Look at all of this. Can you see that?
Absolutely.
Right. So that, and all you have to do is put the actual word in, and then it won't automatically spell check it and correct it to something lame and stupid like duckery. And I do love this. And then I realized, oh, hang on, wait a second. Instead of typing my email, I don't have to complete my whole email. If I just put, you know, Gareth, and then it'll go, oh, at, blah, 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 and it completes it for me. Bloody amazing. As soon as you get to the at, it's done. So this is like early standard grade stuff. Then I got into amazing shit. So I started to realize that I could put in directions. I could put in addresses. I could put in my passport details. I could put in postal address. This RSVP one that I've just shared with you, there's an SOS one in case something happens to me, then it'll automatically complete a whole paragraph of like blood type, where I live, nearest of kin, all of that. Yeah, it's such a useful plan. And then, and for example, you can also create shortcuts, like if you want the copyright symbol, you know, the little C in the circle. then if you create brackets, C brackets, then it makes it for you. So you don't have to go into like complicated fucking keyboard shortcuts. This just does it all for you. And there's so much more. I mean, honestly, I use this thing all the time. Happy birthdays. I'll obviously personalize it for people who I message and whose birthday I actually know it is. And then it's just happy birthday, CS. I hope you have an awesome day, blah, blah, blah. And I'll change it accordingly. So it's not like I use the same thing every time.
I think you're one of the best at that, Gareth. Honestly, I'm terrible with remembering birthdays. But you, like, every year on the birthday, I know we have our group with Ass and Tabo and Mubs and them, but every year it's like clockwork. You're very good like that. So you deserve a gold star on that.
The group is just me, you, Ass, Mabale, and Tabo. There's no one else. Yeah. And
there's no one
else. And it only comes to life every now and then, right? It's not like it's going all the time. Because did we kick Damon off or did he just leave himself?
I think he left himself.
Yeah, he left in a temper he was tantruming about something.
Where is he these days? He was doing the interesting perfume business at one point, right?
Who knows? And I mean, that terrible wife of his, she's the most awful person in the world.
Berenice.
Oh, Jesus. It's like a steel wool on a chalkboard. That woman. Anyway, he got so there's still people who are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder after COVID, right?
Mm.
Definitely. They're people who've had a very, very rough time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I don't think those people are I don't think anyone has given them the tools to deal with it properly. And I think some people genuinely believed that they were going to die if they got COVID. And, you know, there was a lot of hysteria in the press and all of that stuff. And listen, don't get me wrong. I was furious and I'm still angry about some of the shit that happened here in South Africa and in the world. And I think a large part of the way people have responded to political leaders everywhere is that they've said kind of fuck you because you ran it so badly and you made such dumb decisions. But people like Damon was hugely, hugely upset by COVID. He was terrified of getting it. He was super paranoid. And I thought it was all nonsense, right? Which is the opposite extreme. And he just couldn't cope with that well. He was like, I'm a vax denier. He like went completely ballistic. And the same thing happened with like anything to do with US politics. He didn't have a sense of humor about any of it. He's like, oh, you would support that Nazi Trump. Like, he's totally bought the media stuff. And I think he just eventually couldn't handle it and didn't want to talk to me anymore. And I think he couldn't handle any of us having fun in his absence. He left the group.
I'm sorry to hear that. But
what are you going to do?
Yeah. One of those things. Oy vey.
Oy vey, exactly. I regret it only because it's such a dumb reason to not be laughing together. And I love laughing together. I love the fact that we all have so many stories that we can bring up. And I mean, just the other day, I reminded you guys of like that guy who called in. And I don't know if anybody is listening to us now. It just suddenly popped into my head. I went onto the group and I was like, do you remember that dude who called in and went, because we used to take live calls and I'd just go five hello. And this guy goes, Gareth, I was raped when I was 13 years old. And we all went like, oh my God, we went dead quiet. We were like, how are we going to deal with this? And then there was the stunned silence. And then the guy who'd called in and said he was raped when he was 13 years old, he goes, and I loved it. And we all went, oh shit. What is this?
What have we heard?
I remember I went straight to commercials and then Tabo burst into laughter. He thought it was, I mean, I think he laughed for 5 days solid after that. He thought it was the funniest thing ever.
It was wild. That was one of the wildest things I've ever heard.
Insane. Yeah. Grant and Bitcoin Butt say in the comments here that we should take live calls. We set up a line for that in the beginning when we started Cliff Central. Fact is, like, people have phoning someone is just such a thing these days. I don't know how many people in a day you call. I probably speak to my business partners, occasionally family, and otherwise people who I have to make arrangements with. So it's purely like logistical. But otherwise, messages are the best thing ever. And I prefer them almost every time.
I'm a little bit old school. I quite enjoy a good old phone call. And purely, I think, because my brother lives in France, my sister's in the UK. So I'll call them probably daily just for a little chat in traffic or something like that. So I quite enjoy that. Yeah. But I agree with you, though. You know, sending a message is very effective. Although people take voice notes to the next level, though. Please don't send me a 2-minute voice note. Like, you have these people that are like, and going on forever and ever, and it's 2.5 minutes. Right. I'm like, I don't have time to listen to that voice note.
I mean, what do you think? Who do you think you are, Joe Rogan, with fucking 3 hours? speaking of which, I mean, in some ways, you kind of you've always been really close to the UFC guys, and you're still doing that stuff. I often think about kind of you and the fact that you picked up on that way before any of us did, and you knew Drickus long before he was famous. You used to do the commentating, the ring announcement stuff occasionally. I mean, you were in there before any of us were. You saw this. You talk about like visionary or pioneering it. You made mates with those people long ago. Are you still close to all of them?
Yeah, look, I haven't done EFC for the last two events, just in terms of schedule, it hasn't worked out. But, you know, we were in Australia in August for Drickus's fight against Israel Adesanya, and it happened to be the same weekend the Springboks were playing the Wallabies in Perth, and it was just unbelievable. It was like a bucket list moment, considering that in 2009 I was almost shunned for backing this blood sport, this cockfighting, this human cockfighting sport. And, you know, people were like, oh, how can you do that? There's more fights in the parking lot than at Carnival City. And that was true to a large extent. But at the end of the day, here we are. We have a world champion, a UFC middleweight world champion. Drickus du Plessis he's won the World Cup of MMA, if I can put it that way, right? And now all of a sudden it's cool and mainstream. So, yeah, I'm chuffed that it's headed this way, but I was definitely shunned, and I think my career definitely took a knock initially when I was banging the EFC mixed martial arts drum.
Well, I don't recall being hugely supportive either. I used to tease the hell out of you. I was like, what is this? Is it like that WWE shit that we used to see? You remember? Because all we knew, I mean, we didn't know a lot in this country. We would watch that wrestling bullshit, which is obviously nonsense. And I didn't have a frame of reference for this. And then I thought, when you explained it to me, but Jesus, this sounds quite fucking violent, you know? And this isn't going to take off. Meanwhile, you were on the money from the get-go. So credit to you, dude, because people don't do this, right? They don't go, you were right.
I appreciate that, man.
Well spotted, Eagle Eye CS Duplessis. And some people in here are saying like, oh, it's because you have the same surname as Drickus Duplessis. That's how you do.
I must tell you, I once got asked, someone back in the day was trying to bring wrestling back to South Africa. Like, South Africa's always had wrestling, especially in the 80s. There was a huge wrestling scene. And then someone tried to bring it back sort of, I would say about 2014, somewhere around there, called Slam Force. And they asked me to commentate on it just because I don't think they had anyone else who kind of had a semblance of what happens. And right. I remember having this idea in my head of how WWE works. I mean, The Undertaker, Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, you name these legends we grew up with. And I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. And I walk into the change room and there's these wrestlers getting ready and they're busy working out the bloody moves in the change room before we're about to go live with a show. And I was like, what am I doing here? And like, I'm going to throw you on this table and I'm going to do that. And I'm like, oh my God, what have I done? But anyway, it was still good fun though, but it burst a bit of a bubble around wrestling for me a little bit.
So with like EFC, when you went off to Australia, were you with our crew the whole time? Because that was massive. That was probably for many South Africans the moment that we started to take it seriously. I mean, there were people obviously who climbed on board early, and we've got lots of people who listen to this show who, because of you probably back in the day, got into it very early. Now, of course, it's so mainstream that you've got Trump and his whole team that went there this week. I mean, he went there with Elon and with and when he saw Rogan, he gives him a big hug. Yeah, I mean, it's like the coolest thing. I saw the speaker of Congress, and he looked so uncomfortable. You could tell the guy had never been to wrestling. I mean, to a fight before. He was kind of following Trump and the rest of the team around, but he just didn't look like he was having an easy time. He's like a fish out of water. You know, when someone he's wearing the suit and tie. And he looked super awkward in the lift, and then in the when they enter the arena, and he's sitting there, but he doesn't know what to look at. It's just was so bizarre.
I remember
it's like when you take a friend of yours to a strip club for the first time, and they're like, "What do I? Where must I put my eyes?"
I remember November last year, I was fortunate enough to go to Madison Square Garden to watch UFC. And Trump arrived, but he like deliberately comes in just before the main card starts, right? When the place is at its packed, like it's the most packed it is. And that was November last year. That Madison Square Garden went absolutely bonkers for Trump. Like I could not believe how mad it was. And everyone was just going, USA, USA, USA. You know, Americans don't need a lot to get started. Like, you're going to bind an American, just go USA, USA. It'll diffuse any situation.
Well, I mean, we should have probably known then, and I'm sure you got an inkling, because New York is not a Republican place. For someone like Donald Trump, who they tried everything to destroy this guy. I was talking to somebody just yesterday about this. They threw everything, including fucking live bullets at the man, and he's still fought his way through. But if you go to New York and you can get a crowd in Madison Square Garden to chant USA and to get as excited for you as they are for the fight that they've come for, we should have all known at that point, like, this guy's going to be president. I suppose many people were just shy or nervous to admit it. It's a weird thing. So when you go to these things now, I mean, you've known these guys in South Africa for a long time, and you've known some of the fighters for a long time. Is there like a fighting EFC South African contingent that you know well, that you can call these guys up and say, hey, listen, I've got this idea for, you know, covering this in this way or whatever. I need a guest, or I need to connect me with this person. I mean, can you get to, if you wanted to, could you speak to Dana White?
Eventually, yeah, through the UFC channels. I mean, I still do work for Supersport, especially in the combat sports space. So that would be something that, I mean, I interviewed him, November last year. There is that access. And I think because the sport's become so mainstream, it's a lot more accessible now. But they are getting rid of plastic journalists, you know, people who aren't affiliated to proper media webs, you know, MMA websites or media houses. So there's definitely a shift, but yeah, we've worked hard. I mean, I've commentated on almost, I think, 60 EFC fights, and I've attended, you know, the two UFCs now. So yeah, it's been a long journey, and I think, you know, I've got a pretty good relationship with most of the athletes that are, especially in an African context. So yeah, very proud of the journey.
Fuck, that's cool. Well done. Yeah. As I said just now, people don't ever tell somebody after the fact, hey, you know, you were well ahead of your time and you deserve some credit for that, because people were not very nice when you used to bring up EFC. They didn't understand it, including me. I would be like, oh, this crap again. And look at you were on the money. I almost wish we wish we could go back and place bets on what you said was going to be a thing. But you mentioned something else just now. You said plastic journalists. And this gets me onto something that I think you also wanted to talk about this morning, which is the number of people in the media world who, and don't get me wrong here, I don't want to sit and complain about people who genuinely have added value. And I'm talking about influencers who've really carved out a niche for themselves. They become the best at that thing, right? Which is terrific.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've started your podcast. Well, you started it a while ago now, so it's not as if it's new. But you got broadcast experience, and you've got like a polish about you because you've spent hours and hours behind the microphone and in front of the camera. There are a lot of these people who have a huge amount of talent, and they're doing an excellent job. But let's just be honest and say that 90% of it is just absolute shit. And I don't know who's watching or listening to this amateurish nonsense that so many people are doing. It really bothers me not because they're successful, because if they were, I'd be in awe. I'd be willing to give credit where it's due. I'm talking about just, you almost have more people doing their own shows than watching. It's like, who's watching all these shows if everybody who's meant to be watching the shows is doing their own?
Yeah. I think you spot on there. And I've always maintained broadcasters are born. You know, I've seen it often with, and in a sporting context, being in that sort of sports journalism space for so long, there's journalists that will come on, and I'd say journalists, there's people who are coming onto the scene as newbies, and they soon get found out in terms of the way they ask their questions, how they report on their stories, how they look in front of camera, their pieces to camera leave a lot to be desired, and they kind of, you know, fade away into the background. But then there are a couple that just get it. They're just born with it, and they're comfortable. They are articulate. They're so comfortable in front of camera, and it makes a huge difference. And you can see straight away, I mean, now in my old age, I think I'm what, 66 years old now, you know, you kind of can tell, right? GC, you can tell someone's got something, right? Straight away. And I mean, I know you've done the talent shows over the years and that, but when you see someone, even if it is just an influencer doing something on their phone or whatever it may be, you can tell straight away they've got something. Like, I think I'm at that point in my career where, you know, I'm almost like, that person's got something. They've got a bit of talent. But there's a lot of people that think they've got talent that command these huge audiences just because they might be attractive, but they actually don't really have a clue what they're doing. And yeah, and there's a lot of that out there.
Well, I mean, everybody's still talking about Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight. And I mentioned on Monday's show that there was that 12-year-old girl who interviewed Tyson, and he was like, I don't want to talk about legacy. Fuck your legacy. He was like terrible to this 12-year-old. And I thought, oh my God, this is so, it's so cringe to watch Mike Tyson, like doing what Mike Tyson does, and to see this 12-year-old squirming because she just didn't know what the hell to do about it. And what was awkward and entertaining for some people, I at the same time thought, you know, if it was handled professionally, if there was somebody who could protect this child, because that's what it is, from like really sarcastic and hardcore answers from an old dog of fighting, right? Someone should have got involved there and said, listen, sweetheart, you know, you're 12. Mike Tyson is not the kind of guy who's going to condescend and pretend that he cares about your dumb questions. I'm going to cancel this interview. Like, there need to be some adults in the room who can mediate here. I did an interview yesterday, again, talking about how long we've been in this business. I interviewed the Goo Goo Dolls front man.
Wow.
A guy called John Riz. Yeah, you know the Goo Goo Dolls.
And, yeah, aren't they next month, isn't it? Or?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They're in the first week of December. They're doing three concerts. They're doing Joburg. They're doing Durban. I said to him, listen, don't hold your breath for Durban, eh? I said to him, you fucking waste your time in Durban.
No, man, Durban will turn up. It's my hometown. They'll turn up.
CS, they never turn up for anything in Durban. They if there's one cloud in the sky, they're like, oh, I'm not going anywhere. It's not going to happen. But they're doing Kirstenbosch. They're doing that amphitheater at the Voortrekker Monument in Pretoria. And then I don't know where they're doing Durban, but we'll find out.
That's cool, man.
So I interviewed this guy yesterday. But I've got to say, like, this is where when you're dealing with professionals, it just makes it so much better for the audience, for you, for the guest. Like, everything just works, right? So they had the public relations company who were running the whole show. So he's obviously still in America. So we did it online like we're doing this. But it was so cool because you go on and you're in the kind of green room and you're waiting. And they've sent you a list of, preferred questions. But I knew I wasn't going to follow them. And so did they. It was all good. And it was just handled so beautifully. They're like, and this is Gareth. They introduce you so that you don't have to sit there and go, how's it? Oh, yeah, I've got this this show and I've done TV and radio. And you don't have to talk about yourself. They did it properly. Bring him online. And we spent, it was meant to be 10 minutes. I think we got like 20 minutes out of the guy eventually. And he was so cool. And he spoke about, you know, songwriting and his experiences and this situation that happened to them when they were flying out of Bosnia once on tour. I mean, incredible things. And it just felt like the people who handled that and put it all together knew what the hell they were doing.
Yeah.
It's nice to work with that kind of,
that's kind of
knowledge. Yeah.
We've had, I mean, not to go down memory lane too far, but like, you used to have amazing musical guests on the show. Like, I remember, like, there were so many incredible actors, musicians. I mean, it was like rock stars that came into studio. Like, what's happened? Is it just, do we not have the money to bring them out anymore? Or, you know, like, because you used to have incredible guests on the show.
So they're still doing concerts. I mean, I often speak to Ati van Wyk, who's at big concerts, and they're bringing out brilliant people. I mean, just the thing is, like I said to this Johnny Resnick yesterday, I said to him, the Goo Goo Dolls are a band, and we haven't had a band in the top 50 on any of the charts for 10 years. There aren't any bands anymore. Have you noticed that? There's just solo singers and pop stars. There aren't any bands, and it's the weirdest thing because you're not going to go to a concert necessarily unless you know it's going to be an experience, you're going with maybe some people that you really want to be with, that kind of thing. And this guy was saying, it's a totally different experience. There's nothing you can compare with going to a concert and being like sandwiched between people. It's an incredible thing. It's part of the reason you go. It's not just for the songs, even though that's a nice part of it, you know. It's never going to sound exactly like it does on the album. But I think there aren't these superstars because, you see, unfortunately, what we've all got to contend with in 2024 is that celebrity is worthless. And I don't mind that at all. I've always thought celebrity was pretty stupid. But even big superstars, you know, Hollywood actors, massive, massive singers, sports stars even, they're so accessible now because of social media that the mystery of celebrity has been removed. It's like, it's not even 6 degrees of separation. It's like two, because you can literally go onto X and you can message anybody you like. And there's a chance that they'll see your tweet. You know, they'll respond to you even. I posted a thing on, what was this? Like maybe Monday afternoon, you know, Naval Ravikant, he's like a well-known kind of wise man. I call him a guru. Anyway, I posted something in response to something he'd said, and he, you know, he liked this. I think he's following me now. It was pretty wild. I was like, this is a kind of guy. Cool, would have taken 10 different fucking producers calling these people all the time, and you would have had to know their people, and then it would have been arranged for like October next year. Now you can put something out there and then suddenly you just have instant connection with them. You agree with that?
I do. I think I get the feeling things have changed with X also. Like it used to be quite it might still be quite toxic at times, but I just feel things are starting to change there. The people are coming back. You know, we hear about, is it Blue Sky, the other sort of app that's come out now?
I must be honest with you. I mean, like, I know exactly what you're talking about. This is all in the fallout after the Trump victory in the elections. You got all these left-wing people who are leaving X, because you remember how right-wing people all left X when it was going too woke. They were all going onto Truth Social, Trump's terrible platform that he had. I never started a Truth Social. I couldn't care less.
Fake news.
Yeah, well, I mean, there is a lot of fake news, so I'm not going to dispute that. But
just
it does. I mean, I did go quiet on Twitter for a while because I realized like there's no real reason to like engage with just a very hostile environment. It's like walking into Afghanistan with your tits out. You know, you're gonna end up like in unnecessary violence. And I just I didn't enjoy it. I literally handed over the keys to the Twitter castle to my manager, and I said, you do this. I don't want to have anything to do with this stuff. It's not working for me. And so for a while, I did kind of get off there. And I'm pleased to say that my timing was fairly good, because when Elon bought it, and I don't know how you feel about him, there are a lot of massive Elon stans in our audience, and there are lots of Elon stans in South Africa. And I think he's a very, very smart, very cool guy. But he's weird as hell. I wouldn't say I'm like one of those Elon or die people, but I like the dude. I think he's enormously clever, brilliant, visionary, all of that stuff. But I don't think I worship anybody, right? And when he took over X, I thought, it's time to come back. Shit's going to get exciting again. I think I was right.
I think you're spot on. I must be honest. I think I'm not, as you say, a sort of Elon or die kind of person, but I do appreciate like this technology. The fact that he's landing rockets by themselves is insane. What he's done in that space alone is, I mean, in the UFC, John Jones said something to Elon Musk about fighting on Mars. I mean, it was brilliant. And Elon was probably going, okay, maybe we can do that. Like, he was probably going, how long is it going to take? Will you still have a career? It was phenomenal. So what he's done is remarkable. And I suppose we can still claim him. I mean, he is
here,
right?
Hey, so listen, I want to give credit to Mac G. I saw a promo for his show. You know, Mac G is probably the biggest podcaster in the country at the moment. And he got an interview with Elon's dad, Errol Musk. It was online, I think it's gone on live now. I'm not sure, or the recording is up. So you can go and check that out. Because someone here in the Sugar Shabalala says in the comments, when you get the chance, watch Elon's dad's interview with Mac G. I definitely will. I think he's just a fascinating human. I mean, to first of all, being rich, let's just clear this up right away, because people have this weird, including me, have this weird idea of like what rich means. Rich, you could be rich with 10,000 rand in your bank account because you don't owe anybody anything, all your bills are paid, and you can spend 10,000 rand on yourself. I mean, that's, for some people, that's wealth, right? This guy's got hundreds of billions of dollars. And what does he do? He buys X, which is probably a loss-generating business. It's not.
Yeah.
It's certainly not. It's not gonna wash its own face for a while, even though he fired 80% of the people. And he didn't do it because he wanted to make money. He had a much bigger vision in mind. He's trying to get us to Mars. I mean, he doesn't actually care. If you took away all his money, he'd make it all back. He's that kind of guy.
He is that kind of guy. He's ruthless, though. And, you know, I read the book about him and his story. And when he bought Twitter, what was it, $44 billion at the time, and tried to get out of the deal when he realized, oh, crap, this potentially is going to be go bad. And then he realized, actually, this is a tool. And I think he's turned it around.
I think he's definitely done that. I think he's also... The point I wanted to make with the money, just before we move on, when people think that you can take from this guy and give to that guy, and that they'll both be equal now, like communists think that way, they don't realize that the guy that you're taking it from has the capacity to do it again. And they're, those are rare people, right? They can, they will create value anywhere you put them. And yeah. as a result of that, other people will give their money. So they'll end up rich again. I mean, you know, we all have a friend or two who have succeeded despite all the odds being against them. They're so clever. They're so capable. They can make everybody else's life easier. They provide us with innovations and products and ideas that they put into the market. And we all go, oh my God, I need that so badly that we give them our money. We're like, take as much of our money as you want. you can't take away their capacity to create and to innovate. You can take away their money, but they'll make that back again. Yeah. And I wish when Trump was elected, he's like, Elon is a genius. We need to look after our geniuses. And I thought, yes, that's correct. I mean, he can say a lot of stupid shit, but that is spot on. We need to look after our geniuses. Can you imagine if we had just, oh my God, if he'd stayed here, he'd probably never have become the success that he was. So it's a good thing for him that he got out of here. But I often think about how many people we lose this brain drain idea because this country's run like a, you know, like a chip shop. I often think we've got some brilliant people who just, they look at this dumb government and they look at some of the dumb shit that even ordinary people in this country do. And they go like, I think I'll take my chances in, you know, the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, India, where you go. And we miss out on talent like that. This guy's like a once in a generation genius, Elon. And we're watching
the Neuralink stuff is amazing.
Fuck, it's incredible, man. I mean,
it's like mad.
They are helping people who've never walked before to walk.
Yeah.
If I told you that 15 years ago, you'd have said, oh, please, science fiction. What are you smoking? Are you high?
It's mad. I know of a guy that lost his fingers climbing Everest due to frostbite. And South African guy, he's now on the shortlist for Neuralink. He's one of the guys that got selected. It's phenomenal. And potentially, I mean, he's a dentist. It's an incredible thing. It's going to change the world. Absolutely.
So are you still, because I mean, you were also one of those people who started doing all the right things health-wise early on. I mean, you seem like you're in pretty good shape. Are you still like looking after yourself and making sure that you eat right and going to gym and that kind of thing more than ever? Or is that something that's kind of slid to the back?
No, I would say it's become something that I'm now more aware of, because at this sort of age, you get to a point where you look at sort of a burger and something and you feel like you're putting on weight, you know, and to try and lose it even more so. But I try and watch what I eat. I mean, we used to drink quite a bit of tequila back in the day. I don't drink as much tequila as I used to, even though it is the good stuff. So I try and look after whatever I can and just watch what I eat. And I think the biggest thing, GC, is from a mental health point of view, that time in the gym, and it's only 3 times a week, just that like break from the everyday stuff and lifting some weights makes the world of difference, just to like clear my mind a little bit and not be focused on stuff I shouldn't be. You know, the noise is out there, and I think it's just a case of you get sucked into that noise on a daily basis, because we lived in a heightened sense of anxiety in South Africa just by default. So I think the fact that I can escape for 45 minutes to an hour, 3 times a week at the gym is just makes the world of difference, just for my sleep, for everything. So yeah, that's kind of where we are at the moment.
I like that. I went yesterday and I did a, you know, when you feel like you need to be a little bit of an overachiever. So usually I'll do 5 sets of whatever exercises, you know, 5 different exercises. I'll do 3 reps of those 5. And then that's me done. And I'll leave. Usually I'll just walk straight out of the gym, feel, okay, I've done my bit for the week, or I've done my bit for the day, or whatever. And yesterday I just kept going. It was the strangest thing. I felt like, okay, I've still got some energy. Let me keep going. And I did another 2 sets of some other stuff. And because I was enjoying it so much, like I didn't even realize, I probably did more in 45 minutes yesterday than I usually do in an hour. I walked out of there like my balls were so fucking big. I was so proud of myself. I walked out of there like I conquered the world, right? Like your friend who climbed Everest. I'm like, yay!
The king of the world!
Oh, yeah. And it's probably because I wasn't even concentrating that much, because you also have to approach everything. I'm sure you'll agree with me. Everything in life with a sense of humor and not taking yourself too seriously, because the last thing I want is to ever get like, and don't get me wrong, I know there are probably people who listen to us and listen to guys like Tim Ferriss, who I think, I mean, he's obviously brilliant at what he does. But I hate these people who, like, they always look like they've got everything together, and they make the rest of us feel like we're just trying. We're just like losers who are doing our best, but we never really get there. And I sometimes think, like, you've got to just approach everything with a sense of humor of like, how dumb do I look? I wonder how many people, if they saw me now, would be laughing their asses off. I did something last night, and then we'll take a quick break. Before I went to bed, I had some mosquitoes in my room. And by the way, I've got this bloody great rain spider that's living on my roof, my ceiling in my room. And I thought this thing was doing its job, because for the last two nights, I wasn't bothered by a single mosquito. So I got to bring that thing back. I want to, and I want to look after it, and I want it to know it's welcome, okay? Because I know lots of people are terrified of spiders, but I love this fucking thing because it keeps the mozzies away. Anyway, last night, I've got one of these, you know those like tennis rackets that have the electricity flowing through them, and you like you blitz insects? Dude.
Yeah.
I was standing on my bed in a shirt and underpants, like swatting fucking mosquitoes with this electric tennis racket. It looked so dumb. It looked so ridiculous.
My life is now.
I felt like I suddenly started laughing. But if anybody could see me now, they would be in hysterics, because I must have looked so dumb dancing around trying to hit these mosquitoes tennis bracket
with your giant balls from them, right?
And I must, and then when I'd hit one, I'd be like, yes, I got it. I'm so fucking great. It makes this terrible just like noise. And then goes clack, 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 as it burns the mosquito to a crisp. And everyone I got, I thought, yes, I'm so fantastic. God, I loved it. Man. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. If you've just joined us, then you're in good fortune, because C.S. Duplessis is with us for a long-awaited reunion on this show. And we'll find out more about what he's up to at the moment, where you can follow him, what he's got to tell us, and a whole lot more. We've also got a guest joining us in a little while about something that I think many people would be interested in doing, because if you feel like doing something for other people this time of year, and hell, why not? Christmas, New Year, all of that stuff. There's plenty of reason to get involved in the world rather than just in your own world. We'll find out all about that and more in a short while. Don't go anywhere. Gareth Cliff Show on The Real Network. It is Wednesday, the 20th of November. Good morning.